Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. Transformed. And think about it. You look at all the crazy stuff going on today. Mm-hmm. You look at what's taking place in the church, or what is taking place in the church. You look at society, you look at the family, you look at the world and uproar, the economy. And I have a personal plan for you to begin a transformation that and I'm going to share with you can personally, in 1 year's time, you can affect between 3,000 and 100,000 people for God, wow, for transformation. Let me share it with you. You know, the very specific thing that the Lord did, as we share often, is that he came to transform us. He came to take us out of a sinful state and to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. But he says then, you know, he says that we are to become his disciple. Mm-hmm. We're to be transformed. The way that we do things or did things, we transform that. We begin to do them differently. I like what Paul said. You know, Paul said, and he's writing to the church in Rome, mm-hmm, and it's in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers. And this, we're talking to the church here. We're not talking to the world. Mm-hmm. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, thank God for your mercy.
Yes.
In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And so think about it. How do we worship God? Some people like to sing. Some people like to say that they worship God. But the truth is, we worship God through obedience. We mm-hmm obey him. That's why he says, offer your body mm-hmm as a living sacrifice. Right. So if your body wants to go right, but God says it needs to go left, when you go left and you don't go right with the right attitude in your heart, you just worship God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You worship God. But the second part of that in verse 2, he says, do not conform. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. He didn't say do not conform for a few weeks. You know, conform for a while, and then mm-hmm every now and then don't conform. You know, or he says, he said very specifically, do not conform any longer to the mm-hmm patterns of this world, but be transformed. Think about that. By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Think about it. He says, don't even conform any longer. But then he says, be transformed. And that word transform in the Greek, the word means metamorphosis. Literally go like a caterpillar would go into a cocoon and go through a metamorphosis inside the cocoon, and it would come out a butterfly. It's not a caterpillar anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a butterfly. And we're born again, when we give our lives to the Lord, we cannot stop short of metamorphosis. We cannot stop this side of transformation. We are called, Jesus said, go preach this good news, and those who believe, baptize, then teach them to obey everything. In other words, let them be transformed, transform them, their way of doing things. And so you look at what's happening right now. You have a church in America that is, it's stopped on the left side of transformation. It's tried to transform others. It's tried to transform the political parties. It tried to transform their communities, their business sectors. But they didn't start with personal transformation. Mm. It's not us. It's God transforming us by what he says and what his word is. You know, he says that my sheep know my voice and they follow none other. So think about this. So then it's about, it's obviously not about political transformation, you know, and it's not about, you know, economic transformation. Is that when we begin to look at what God says in his word, we transform ourselves by God's grace and the empowerment of his spirit into beginning to do things God's way. He says very specifically, he said, if you follow my teachings, then you really, look at that word, really, really are my disciple. What does that mean? Is that you're not following his teachings, then you're not his disciple. If you follow my teachings, then you're really my disciple, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So how can we be set free from where we are today? It's through transformation. It's through spending time with God. And we talk about it quite often, and you could find out more about abiding at iabide.org. But through a simple abiding plan, you can begin to transform this nation, but it starts with you. But the definition, how we define abiding is, we describe as abiding as spending time with God regularly. Reading his word, the Bible, hiding his word in our heart, which is memorization, keeping it, thy word hath hidden my heart that I would not sin against you. We don't know it's sin unless we have the word. Then communicating with God, praying and listening, talking to God and listening, then obey what he says or impresses on you to do. It's a simple thing. I mean, he tells us very specifically in John 15, 4 through 5, he says, you know, remain, and that's the word abide. Remain in Jesus, and Jesus will remain or abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain or abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide or remain in Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me, or abides in Jesus, and Jesus in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from Jesus, apart from abiding in him, you can do nothing. We can be religious. We can come up with all kind of conservative parties. We can, you know, come up with our schemes and plans and philosophies. But it boils down to simplicity. This is what blew the Pharisees away, was they didn't understand how God could use a simple fisherman. But he says they took notice that they've been with Jesus. They abided with Jesus, and they knew this. And this is how we'll transform America. This is how we'll transform. This is how you'll transform your family. This is how you transform your church gathering. This is how the church grows and builds itself up. And think about this. Understanding then transformation is leaving God, the world's way of doing things and our way of doing things, and transforming ourselves to God's way of doing things. And he tells us that we cannot do this unless we abide with him. So just begin to abide. You alone, all by yourself, not thinking about anybody else, not talking about anybody else. You know, first take a 6-week challenge. They say it takes, you know, 40 days to build a habit. You know, take a 6-week challenge and say, you know what? I'm going to believe that God's going to begin to transform me all by yourself. You're not trying to transform your wife. You're not trying to transform your husband. You're not trying to transform your children. You're not trying to manipulate. This is you. You know, no agenda, you and God. And begin to abide with him, you know, daily for 6 weeks. Not 6 weeks in one day. Just say, I'm going to make a 6-week commitment to begin to abide. Why? Because if I'm going to be transformed, he says, we can do nothing outside of abiding with Jesus. So as I abide with him, as I hang around with Jesus and with the definition that I said about abiding, then all of a sudden, you know, I'm really his disciple. And the things begin to become known to me and they become revealed to me. He says, then you'll know the truth. And when that truth is revealed to you by God through your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're set free.
Right.
I mean, think how powerful that is.
It's the truth that you know that sets you free.
Exactly. That's revealed to you.
Exactly.
It's revealed to you, and that comes with, you know, abiding with Jesus. And so here it is. So you, first thing you did, you know, there's 300 some odd million people in America, but you're not thinking about them. There's, you know, a couple political parties, you're not thinking about them. There's 7 trillion denominations and non-denominations and different gatherings, you know, all kinds of, you know, you're not thinking about them. You're just saying it's all about you and God. And so what do you do? Well, you can find this abiding plan at iabide.org. I'm going to share a little bit of it with you. It's very simple. You need to first commit to it. I'm going to do it for 6 weeks. And then you got to decide when you're going to do it. You need to do it daily. You need to have the same time each day that you do it. Mm-hmm. A certain place, the very same place that you do it. A plan. And of course, we could talk about the plan right now. You know, what are you going to do? And then a goal. Be very specific. And the goal would be, as we're talking about, you know, saving America, is personal transformation, you being transformed. Mm-hmm. And so when you do this, part of the plan is a simple abiding plan where you use a simple journal, a blank journal, and we have at iabide.org. We have a video for you to show you how to do it, every step of it, testimonies. I mean, it's all there for you, but mm-hmm. I'm just telling you about it. And so if, whether you're in a gathering of 5,000 people on a weekly, or whether you're in a gathering of two or three, and this is how you start. And then after you finish your 6 weeks, and of course, when you're abiding, you're going to write down every day the word that you're hiding in your heart. Remember, because part of abiding is you're hiding this word in your heart, and write it down for an entire week, that same scripture. Mm-hmm. And got some clues on how to do that. If you have difficulty with memorization, I talk about that at iabide.org. But the, and then you begin to read the word, read the scripture that day, you know, and stay consistent in where you are in your reading, and ask God, say, God, speak to me today. And all of a sudden, something will just jump off the page. Something will just stick out. Stop right there. Don't go any further. And write that down. And there's a way to do this. We have it there at iabide.org. And then ask this question. If you write down what jumped off to you in the scriptures, mm-hmm. or what God spoke to you, say, God, what are you saying to me about me? Not what are you saying to me about the world? What are you saying to me about my wife or my husband or my children? You know, what are you saying to me about me? And then whatever it is, you know, put that down. Mm-hmm. And then begin to pray. You know, what action does God want you to take over that? What's he mm-hmm. saying? What's he impressing on you to do? Mm-hmm. And then the next week, which will be your second week of 6 weeks, you have a new verse that you write down every day for 7 days, and you're committing that to memorization. You're letting it wash over you and transform you. Because he says, be transformed. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. And you're finding out, you're abiding, spending time in God's way of doing things, the new way. You're in mm-hmm. the Word. So it's just really cool. So you finish that 6 weeks at this particular time, then you begin to pray and ask God, God, of all the people I know, if it's people in your present church gathering, it could be people in your workplace, I don't know who it is, but you find, you know, 3 to 5 people that you sit down with them, tell them about your experience and your personal abiding experience and what you've been doing for the last 6 weeks, and then challenge them to take the 6 week challenge. Mm-hmm. So now potentially you have 5 people that are doing what you did. It's pretty cool. Right. But then, since you've already walked through that 6 weeks and you're going to continue to abide, as you know, as now that you've been abiding, so they're in their 6 weeks while they're doing their 6 week challenge, you're abiding once it's complete for 12 weeks, right?
Right.
But mm-hmm. meet once a week. What you need to do is, hey, let's get up at the coffee shop. Let's go to Starbucks. Let's go to the library. You know, let's have lunch together once a week. And we also meet at a certain time. And we come together, we will be able to discuss or share what the Lord had been sharing with us that particular week. And it's pretty cool, because you see, let me tell you that this is rethinking church. Mm-hmm. Think about it. The church is people. Mm-hmm. And you're looking now that if everybody's believers there, then you're looking at the church functioning. You know, it started with one and now it's 6, you know, if you found 5. Mm-hmm. In 6, the church is beginning to grow. The kingdom's beginning to expand. Disciples are beginning to come forth, right? Because you're following mm-hmm. the teaching. So when you come together once a week, you know, pray together. Then say, you know, pick one thing that God shared with you this week and share it. Everybody gets a chance to share what stood out the most to them. Mm-hmm. You share your memory verse and you share what stood out. This revelation, because people begin to get revelation. I mean, all ages are hearing from God. And then you pray together and then you leave. And so mm-hmm. once a week, you come together with those few people that you challenge to do the same thing that you've done already. And at the end of these 12 weeks, then you ask the question to the group in your last meeting, the church gathering that you have there. Hey, this is pretty cool. It's not as mm-hmm. hard as religion has made it out to be. Mm-hmm. You want to keep meeting every week? And you'll be surprised. And the ones that say yes, then you continue. You know what you just did? You begin to form a gathering, a church gathering. And now what do? You continue doing what you just did. Each of you go out and you challenge 3 to 5 other people to take the 6-week challenge. And what happens? Another small group, another church gathering begins to birth. And another one, and another one, and another one. And just think about it. There's and there's what? How many weeks in a year? 52 weeks?
52.
That means there is 8 6-weeks in a year. You know, if you divide a 52 by 6, you get, you know, 8 point whatever. So that means you have 8 opportunities to have 8 challenges in a year. So let's just say, for example, you said, this is pathetic, what's going on in society. You know, we've been doing, you could be go get a church gathering. It's like, what are we doing? We've been doing this same thing for 10 years and we're not doing anything else. And we don't know each other. We don't even hear God's voice. And instead of blaming everybody and pointing your finger, just say, you know what? I'm going to begin to take that challenge myself. I'm going to go to iabide.org. I'm going to get the simple plan and I'm going to do it for 6 weeks. And then you say, you know what? After that 6 weeks, I'm going to go out and find 5 people. I'm going to challenge them. I might have to talk to 8 to get 5, but to personally challenge them, to transform them. Listen, you will never be the same. When you spend 6 weeks with God, you'll never be the same. And you won't want anything else. This is all you'll want. You'll want to spend time with him.
Right.
And after that 12 weeks, right, because you have your 6 weeks of your challenge and the 12 weeks, then the 5 of you ask the very same thing. Go out and challenge 5 other people. And keep your core group as you're gathering once a week because you've built this relationship with God and each other, and then help them do the same thing. If you do this for 8 consecutive sets of 6 weeks, in 1 year, you would have reached 97,656 people, introduced them to the voice of God, taught them how to relate to God and to obey God and to please God and to be transformed from the patterns of this world.
Wow.
And so often people look at 100,000 people and they think, that's just overwhelming. Well, it's overwhelming if you're planning on being God.
Yeah.
But if you introduce people to God instead of yourself or your organization or your denomination or your church building, and if you introduce them to God, then God handles it. God handles it.
Right.
The stadiums that we see prophetically in the future that God has shown me is filled with people who are hearing his voice, who abide with God. It's not just some undisconnected celebration thing. It's no, these are people hearing from God. So no matter where you put them, no matter what you take away from them, they got God and they got their Bible and they have a blank journal. Think about it. Just you starting for 6 weeks. That's one person for 6 weeks. Then you finding 5 other people to give a challenge after you've done your 6 weeks. You know, you've at that point, you know, you've reached 6, but it's exponential transformation. This is called exponential transformation because when those 5 go out and find 5, that's 25 that they find. And when those 25 finish their 6-week challenge and they go out and find 5, that's 125. And when those 125 finish their 6 weeks and they go out and find 5, that's 625 human beings that are being led to the abiding voice of the Lord. And when those 625 finish their 6 weeks and they go out and they begin to pray, God, lead me to the people that you want to be abiding with you, then that's 3,125 people in 36 weeks. I mean, if you only did half of that, I mean, think about it. If you spent your first week in personal transformation and begin to abide with God, and you just go out and find 3 people, just 3 people, at the end of 1 year, this continuing on, you would have brought 3,279 people into an abiding relationship with God where they can hear his voice, that they know how to spend time with God. They know how to, and they're personally transforming. They're personally transforming others by bringing them to an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. What is happening? What's happening is the church is beginning to be the church. And you're seeing all these gatherings form, or you may call them small groups or whatever, but you're looking, since the church is people, you're looking at all these different church births that are taking place. So in a crowd of 5,000 people, for example, You know, it could be a whole bunch of church gatherings in that the people that know God and know each other, no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. It means that the church could be persecuted and scattered, but because you have personal relationship with God and each other, it's still functioning.
Right.
It's still functioning. It begins. You're not going to transform anybody and anything by blaming them and accusing them and never even start to begin to. Transformation begins with you. It begins with you. And I'm talking about exponential transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about exponentially transforming yourself, starting with you, and then begin to transform your nation one man at a time,
mm-hmm.
one woman at a time. Mm-hmm. And think about it. Just in a simple scenario of that at the end of, you know, a year, when you're looking at five, you can take 97,000 and the 100,000 basically and divide it by five. And that's how many church births that's happened. This took mm-hmm. place.
Wow.
Think about it.
Wow.
You know, think about John G. Lake. John G. Lake started 5,000 churches in Africa during his ministry. 5,000 churches. And if you introduce them to your ideas, your concepts, and your philosophies, and you don't introduce them to God, this is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you introduce them to Jesus Christ and how to abide with him and to hear his voice, you can transform a nation.
Wow.
But it begins with you. Because when what's going to happen, and you begin your 6 weeks of abiding with the Lord, you're not going to be the same person anymore at the end of 6 weeks.
Mm-mm.
You're not going to see God in the same way. Mm-hmm. You're going to be so amazed at how he has an answer for each and everything in your life and where you're going and what you're doing. People are going to begin to notice there's a difference in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, religion's going to be broken off of you, mm-hmm. and relationships going to be birthed in you. The simplicity and the joy of knowing Jesus Christ is going to come real to you like never before. And by the time you're talking to others about the 6 week challenge, you were so on fire because you realize you want them to have the same Jesus that you spent time with, that you got to know during your own personal 6 weeks. Listen, they're going to want what you got.
That's right.
They're going to take notice that you've been with Jesus. And this is like a fire. It begins to spread across the land. Think about it. This is what the disciples said. They said, when Jesus was talking to them, he says, did not your hearts burn?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And a fire, you want to start a fire in men's heart that is the voice of the Lord speaking to them, and a fire that spreads across this land. Exponential transformation. We can transform this nation one man at a time. Could you imagine, you know, John G. Lake planted over 5,000 churches in Africa. Over 5,000 churches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are getting saved, and within being saved for 30 days, 60 days, you know, 90 days, not only are they actually starting a church gathering, but they're actually starting church gathering, starting another church.
Right.
I mean, it just happens. You know, if we break loose from the flower pot, if we break loose from that thing that's retaining and just maxing out our roots. So listen, a vine is supposed to go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have a beautiful flower in a flower pot. I think of, you know, Charles Simpson in his book. Yeah, I think it's called Vines, Ants, Vines, and
Flower Pots.
Flower Pots. Isn't that mm-hmm. interesting? Yeah. And he talks about, you know, vines just meant to grow anywhere and to go anywhere. And Jesus said, I am the vine. Listen, we're supposed to preach the gospel to all, and then the end would come. We're not waiting for somebody to show up and preach it. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Imagine if you spend the next 10 years of your life just obeying God. Listen to Steve Hills. He talks about exactly what happens. You can get saved and get trained and get launched into the harvest field. Listen up.
And we lived in Argentina for years, and same thing. We would give an altar call. Someone would come forward, get saved. Next news you know, they've planted 3 churches. Blink your eyes. They've planted 10. Blink your eyes. And some North Americans down the road can't get anything off the ground.
Exactly right.
And I'm going, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the picture. Let me just ask a couple.
Now, I want to say this. It's the hunger. We're going to have to get hunger. Yes, you could go to India. Right now, you can go to China. As a matter of fact, they're asking for so many to come. But America, the American church is kind of like, we don't need anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's no hunger. You know, God moves by hunger. If we get hungry, if we say, listen, I'm ready to get all this out of my life, that's not God. All I want is God. And I'm ready to go after God. Listen, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Listen, this is not a fairy tale. This is eternity. People every day are dying and going to hell. Every day, somebody, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's the guy that just installed your cable in your home, or maybe it's your appliance repair person, maybe it's your teacher, maybe it's your friend. I don't know, but are you telling them about Jesus? Have you break loose from that that's holding you back and begin to sow the gospel of peace? Begin to sow the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we're doing that at VFN Vine Fellowship Network. It's vfnfamily.org. If you want to find out something about it, you can be trained, you can be discipled, you can be launched out, you can be connected and rightly related. I mean, you can stay where you are and begin to grow right where you're at. It's amazing. You know, if the kingdom of God is within you, and this is just so exciting. You want to be a part of that. What's wrong in America? We're not hungry. We've fallen into sin. We got to repent. We got to rise up. We got to get hungry. We got to know that God is the only answer. All these other things that are happening that are distracting, they're just demonic distractions trying to keep us out of the ultimate goal of preaching the kingdom of God to all, and then the end will come. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. He's coming back, you know?
That's right.
You know, you can be, you're either a gatherer or a scatterer. He says, if you're not gathering, then you're scattering. You know, you got to be a gatherer. You got to work in going out and winning the lost. God's called us. And listen, you can be a lengthener or a strengthener. You can be part of a team that's lengthening what is, or part of a team that is strengthening what is. But you're part of the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is not building a wing onto a building. It's actually telling another person about Jesus. We'll find out more about that at vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org. We'll be right back in a moment.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to vfntv.com and click Facebook.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing. And he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life. And it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures and there it is. And like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God. And by alone with God,
mm-hmm.
and you even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages?
With
the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, uh-huh. My 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that, we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you where you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. And it's like, it's not the same God when one of them denies Jesus and one of them says Jesus is the only way to God and he's the Son of God. It's not the same God. Listen, you can make money God. You can make, did we play, we played counterfeit God, didn't we, have Jeff?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jeff Bethke. He was on, governor of Arkansas's Governor Fox program. What is
Mike,
that?
Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, he was actually on Huckabee's program.
Right, right.
It was so funny, you know, Huckabee's breaking a rap up. He's breaking a spoken word up, and he just plays like a little clip, and he goes, well, no, what do you mean by that? You know, and he's like,
oh,
and he plays it, and he's like, it's like cutting a piece of the Mona Lisa out and talking to me about the color part. It's like, let's talk about the whole thing. But he's like, I mean, he was very good. I mean, it was a very good interview. But you don't cut a piece of people's artwork up and break it out like that. You just show the whole piece of art,
right,
and then, you know, you talk about it. But he's such a gracious guy. You know, he's just a real cool dude. And he got touched and saved on the university. So now Jeff is Jeff Bethke. You can find about him on the VFN Torch. Just go to VFNTV.com. And there will be a button soon for all of our iPad users out there, because I know when you click on the VFN Torch on the VFN TV.com site, it gives you a little difficulty the way that an iPad or an iPhone would read it. So you're going to have, for all of our iPad users, there'll be a separate selection for you that'll give you a format that you can see it. But you can just type in, you know, one is, I hate religion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of us he did because, you know, religion nailed Jesus to the cross. And
Who is your God is the title of that
counterfeit. Online. It was, oh, is it who your, I thought it was counterfeit God. It's who is your God. Okay. Who is your God? And, but it's just powerful because, first of all, I love that kind of stuff. I love that. You know, I was like, I know what the first rap song was.
Really?
Yeah. I think I'm going to lose my mind. Right. I'm trying not to lose my head.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know you had that repertoire.
I have it, man. I even knew who the Fat Boys were.
Wow. Man, that's like original hip-hop.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was it.
You are like, you're pretty down, man.
I mean, granted, I didn't smoke my Bible like Chris did. Huh?
What? You can roll in the Bronx, man. You that's where
I know. I remember the song, man. I remember the song of the Fat Boys and said something like, you ever went over to a friend's house to eat and the food's just not no good? I mean, the macaroni saga, the D's all mushy, the chicken tastes like wood.
I used to have that album.
You had an album?
I had an album.
Didn't I? That was actually the Sugar Hill Gang.
See, oh, that was the Sugar Hill Gang?
Sugar Hill Gang.
Well, they were Fat Boys.
They were kind of chubby.
Oh, I wasn't talking about the name. I was talking about what they look like. No, the spoken word, when I found out, you know, that you can use a spoken word to glorify God, I'm like, oh, this is like the best of everything. You know, I think about Lecrae and Grits,
Yeah.
I think about, I really like more of the, where you're, you know, you're singing your song or whatever, but then you break out into it. I don't know what the name would be. And then you come back, you break out into spoken word, then you come back again, break out into a rap. I just think it's like an orchestra. And I think about the concert that, Toby Mac did called Iceman or something like that. Snowman Tour.
The one you went to?
Yeah, that's the one I went to. That's the one I went to. But yeah, I went to his Snowman thing or Ice. Sorry about it. Whatever you called it. But the whole thing was just a work of art. It reminded me being in New York and going to Broadway and watching something like, remember you went to go watch Mary Poppins, John? And the you're breaking up. And so what happened was, remember how you were so excited? And then her umbrella, and they had like a wire on her umbrella, and they picked her up. And I'm like, yes, we saw the cartoon, we saw the movie, you know, Spoonful of Medicine. We know John. How's the medicine go down? And so anyway, getting back to today, that it was such a beautiful thing. I'm trying to think of the name of that whole album and the whole CD that he did. It's just beautiful, and they just went all over the place, and by the time they get done, you just have this wonderful artistic experience of worshiping God and enjoying it. It was just all God, everything except for the radio announcer that came up to introduce him, and he introduced him with a spirit of rebellion to the kids that I was like the old man. And they're looking at me like, you're not supposed to be enjoying this. I paid for this. I'm going to enjoy this. I'm telling you what, you know.
Right.
And, I can't remember what it was. Anyway, so, the spoken word. I love the spoken word. When I found out that it can be captured and used and, you know, everything was created by and for God and made to worship God, we got to recapture it again.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to write off, you know, anything. We need to find out God's wisdom, how to bring it back to glorify God with it, because it's all made to glorify God. And that's where we find our greatest fulfillment, when we're glorifying God with our gifts and our talents and all that we're called to do. And so he was being interviewed on Mike Huckabee's show, Governor Huckabee's show, and he did such an excellent job. But he's starting a ministry on a college campus in Washington, Oregon, something like that. And he's from the Northwest. And he said, I was touched on campus. Mm. I was touched on campus. And so I want to go back and touch people where I was touched. And he says, I may even die there.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, very.
I want to find out before this is out. You guys help me find out, you know, what, you know, Jeff Bethke's ministry, because I want to be able to let people know what it is, because he's starting to fundraise for it, and he needs to be set like a firebrand in the campuses. Our campuses need men and women who are on fire for God, you know, fire for God, and unapologetically, and they need to hate the men's religion that keeps people from God, that's willing to peel the onion back, as Jeff said it when he was on his interview, and just get to Jesus. And he simultaneously says, you know, I'm not speaking against the church. He says that I love the church. I go to church. But then he goes, well, you know, really, you know, churches, and he starts talking about, it's a people anyway. It's not it's an organism. That's what he said. It's an organism.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, beautiful.
And he says, and I don't want to get caught talking against Jesus's bride.
Wow.
I mean, even his lyrics were spoken words. Because Huckabee went, like, pause and think for a moment, Huckabee. He just gave you a piece of art, even in his response to you. Mm. And he didn't get it. So I guess you could, I don't know, can you get it online, like those kind of interviews? Like, I know that.
Yeah, you probably go to his website.
Yeah.
It's JeffersonBethke.com. It's Jeff Bethke.
Yeah.
Which is beat.
With his habit, does it have his name of his ministry there, the one on campus? It's something for you, change or something, sense or anyway. So go there and find it. We'll make it available today on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, and we'll have some of his contact information up. We'll be right back after this break. We're family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's what we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought, Jesus lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. Of all the things he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com. But today's moment of wisdom is from Proverbs chapter 28. We know that's yesterday, but we're going to talk about it today because we skipped it over yesterday. Yeah, Proverbs 28:4. And it reads, because we always want to watch the wisdom of God over us. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Wicked means immoral. Mm-hmm. So those who forsake the law praise the immoral, but those who keep the law resist them.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Because right now you're looking at so many things taking place. It's amazing today how many immoral men and women who are openly doing what is not right, not only in the eyes of God, but also in the eyes of the community. I mean, in the eyes of our Constitution, yet they have many fans that are praising them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're just praising them. You know, think about
exactly.
it. It's like, what's going on? And today's wisdom helps us to understand why those who openly are wrong or immoral speak not only as those like the world, or even I'm not even talking about the world, just the church in itself and Christians mm-hmm. that are praising those who are doing this, because he's letting us know the reason why they do that is because they are actually in agreement with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
They're looking at a way to get permission to sin. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he said the reason why they praise those that are wicked or immoral is because it's something that they agree with. And so so don't get carried away when you look at somebody who's saying something that's contrary to God, contrary to the God founding of this nation, and then a whole bunch of people, you know, all of a sudden just say, hey, this is great. Let's go in this direction. Don't give up what's right,
right.
you know,
right.
for that. Because he says that we're supposed to actually resist that. Today's wisdom says, but we resist it. And the first way we resist it is to prevent by action or argument.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Prevent by action or argument. Of course, no man keeps the law perfectly, but there's a huge difference between somebody who gives themselves over to something.
Right. And lives contrary to it openly.
Right. And just versus, you know, by the grace of God and the power of the cross of Christ, we fight against that which fighting against us. It's the fighting mm-hmm. and fight of faith. Mm-hmm. It's not, nobody is sinless.
Right.
But the very fact there's a difference in giving yourself over to something. You know, Paul said, the things that I hate, I do.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't hate the things that we end up doing sometimes because we are a sinner saved by grace, and that, you know, we fail.
It's like the sheep and the pig. You know, the sheep falls into a little bit of dirt and it's like, you know, get this thing off of me, you know.
Right,
but
right.
the pig rolls up in there and is slap happy. And,
this is good. I want some more mud.
Great. You know,
great.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. You know, and how do we fight against it? Well, we don't fight against it by screaming at someone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first thing we need to do, you know, is begin to keep the law ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
You know, don't just pick out the things you don't like and preach against your preferences and keep the things that you do, but really begin to abide with God, begin to spend time with him, begin to hide his word in your heart, begin to pray to him, listen to him, and do what he says. You know, wisdom tells us that we're not just to sit back and let wickedness or immorality run wild, but we're supposed to resist it.
That's
and
right,
personally, yeah. we start beginning to resist it in ourselves. We're not to be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
We're not to fall to the majority concept of what's going mm-hmm. on. But look at how many people are praising those who are immoral today in the nation and the mm-hmm. things that they're doing. You know,
it's like you liked what on your Facebook? It's like you're a believer mm-hmm. and that you like that demonic thing? Like mm-hmm. what in the world is that? Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some, there's some amazing.
You know, that's just Facebook. I'm just saying, like, and what you're saying is like, that cannot be us.
Right.
You know, we cannot be, you know, in agreement with people that is like promoting wickedness. It's like, what, you know, that's opposite. That's contrary to what God's word says and what we're supposed to walk out with
right.
God.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely hit the nail right on the head. Those are doing that. It's just it's in their spirit. It's their agreement.
Right.
They're looking for agreement with that.
Right. And so that's why you're gonna it's kind of like, oh my goodness, now that means that I can do this thing without being, you know, condemned or criticized. I can just give myself up. And it's for the eyes of men.
I could like it too.
Exactly.
Okay.
The things I used to think was bad when I was convicted are no longer bad anymore, I guess, because, you know, and it's just like, oh, it's a downward spiral of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus going back to the plumb line of God's word and find out what God says about it,
right.
you know. And when you do that, every one of us are driven to the cross because we need Jesus. Nobody, the only standard is Jesus. It's not
right.
any
Don't
man.
Use someone else's standard.
No,
you know,
right.
look at, oh, that person's godly and they did that. So wait a second. What do you? The standard is always the word of God, not what somebody else is doing. You know what I mean?
Right. And today's wisdom helps us understand that those who are praising them are ones that are forsaking God's ways themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they're not shocked. Yeah. They're not like, oh my goodness, you know, this is great. But mm-hmm. we're supposed to try and to prevent this, to resist it, which means is defined as to prevent it by action or argument.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And an argument is just a different viewpoint. It doesn't mean going in the streets and arguing with somebody. It means, mm-hmm. you know, just saying, well, that's your viewpoint, but let's just find out what God has to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not share our opinions because, you know.
Right.
And how do we do this? The first thing we do is make Jesus the Lord of your life.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. quite often you hear people that are conservatives in America and they talk like they're Christians, but they're actually just conservatives. Mm-hmm. They like that form of government. Mm-hmm. They like the things that come along with Christian values. You know, but the truth is that you got to know Jesus yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking about, hey, we need this God thing, because I know there's an atheist right now. Her name is Cup.
Essie Cup.
She's an atheist, yeah. But she likes the idea of conservative government. So she sounds more like, you know, the Christian value of America than many Christians do.
Mm-hmm.
But she's an atheist. So you can't get caught up in the fact that just because, you know, you are a conservative, you know, mm-hmm. that's your politics or you're part of a particular party that you know Jesus. No, you know Jesus if you know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
And he knows you.
Right.
So first thing mm-hmm. you want to do is make Jesus the Lord of your life. And you can do that we can help you out. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out how you can do that now, just like Steve was talking a little bit earlier. The second thing is abide with him, just what I talked about. Begin to abide with him. Don't run out in the streets and start arguing with people yet. Just abide with him. Get full of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Get full of God. Don't step outside your abiding place until you're full of God.
Mm.
Because if you move before you're full of God, you're moving when you're full of it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And it's like, oh, you're full of it, but you're not full of God. You need to go back and spend time with God because you're arguing preference here. You're not arguing the love of God, because if you were talking about the love of God, then you would have to say, I am you outside of him.
That's right.
But I found him, and you can find him too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, such were some of us, and that we mm-hmm. can. And so there's a loving a reality to a father calling his people home. And then we become Jesus' disciple. And Jesus mm-hmm. says, you're really my disciple if you know and follow my teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says in Proverbs chapter 1, talking about the shot being fired over the bow and the highlights on the VFN torch, mm-hmm. is that he says, I want to make my teachings known to you.
Mm.
And you need to go back
to
repent. Yeah, you need to repent. But first you got to find out what and repent means. I got to stop what I'm doing and do what God wants me to do. But you're not going to know that until you find out what his teachings are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so become his disciple, become a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, teach them to obey all of my commandments,
mm-hmm.
everything that I've commanded you. And this is how we love God. We love God through obeying his teachings, not earning anything. This is how we love God. Mm-hmm. And we can do that through the empowerment of abiding with Jesus. And at this point, you know, you think about it, we're walking in God's way. So now we're empowered to properly resist evil. We're ready and equipped to be able to resist, to have a right kind of argument of
That's
saying,
right.
you know, I know what you're saying. I know that everything in your flesh just wants to give over to this thing because for a long time, the enemy's been gnawing at you and been telling you, you know, if you could just live your life this way, which is contrary to God's way, then mm-hmm. all this pressure would stop. But
right.
the truth is it wouldn't stop. It's going to be way worse in that, what seems like freedom, and that's what's being taught right now, is that, and he talks about that in Second Peter. He says, in these liars basically are saying, you know, that they're promising you freedom,
loosey goosey.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, literally, he just says they're promising you freedom, but they're false mm-hmm. teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not freedom in walking away from God. There's actually bondage. And then he goes about saying, and it's like a dog returning to his vomit. It's better for you to never have known
right.
than to That's have right. known and turned away.
They're crucifying him all over.
It's crucifying him all over again.
Yeah.
But in Peter, where he's talking about that, you're understanding that when somebody says freedom outside of following God, that's actually captivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we can begin to have a right kind of argument now. But that argument will sound really bad if you're not abiding with God.
Mm-hmm.
It'll sound mm-hmm. hateful and religious, even though you use the same words. It's going to sound critical, religious, and fault-finding and everything else versus out of compassion and love when you're sharing that very same word. Because remember, many people have the same Bible, but they don't have the same God.
Yeah,
that's right.
A lot of people are caught up in religion. And just because we had, you know, you might have had a relationship with God at one time ago and you left God.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you're, you know what I'm saying? It's like you got to come back to him.
Yeah,
and,
right.
and oftentimes you need a clean break. I mean, don't believe the hype. Don't believe it. If you didn't know God and you lived contrary to his ways, and say you know of that you didn't know of him or about him or knew the Bible stories, you didn't know him. You didn't have intimacy. You didn't abide. You didn't obey his word. He was living in your life. You have to abide. You got to return back to him. You got to give your whole heart to him. And then you begin to abide and spend time with him and then begin to share and carry this out.
Yeah, and so understanding, you're seeing a lot of people say, hey, let's go this wicked way. Let's go this immoral way. And then you're seeing people in the streets going, yeah. You know, and then you're supposed to, as a believer, look what God says about it and find out what he's saying. You got to check first. Don't assume your preferences are right. And then and then begin to do what we just talked about. But in that, you know, he says, if my people who are called by my name do this, then things begin to get restored and all. So we understand this is not odd what's taking place. The wisdom moment for today tells us what's going on. Mm-hmm. You have people who knew what the people who wanted to do immoral things wanted to hear. So they stood in front of them and they said, this is what I want to do. And they make them their leader. But ultimately, this whole thing is captivity by God's set man. God is just in Babylonian captivity if we don't wake up. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 28:4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, the immoral. But those who keep the law resist them. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.